Welcome to All Sides Weekend with Eric French. This is a new segment that we're doing here on All Sides. And about once a month or so, we're going to have a discussion about all things local music and here in Columbus, here in Central Ohio. And in about once a month, I'm going to have some musicians in performing. We're going to be talking to promoters, venue owners, and maybe even some bands from out of town that are in town to play. And the song that we just heard was called Superior. About 2 years ago, I was just kind of online looking for some new music, and I came across that song, and I absolutely love it. And then I recognized the name. I'm like, oh, that's Colin Gallup from Watershed. You know, I've seen Watershed probably 10 times since I've lived in Columbus. And so I thought, what better way to kick off this brand new segment than with Colin Gallup? Colin, thanks for being here.
Oh, no, happy to be here, really. Thanks a lot.
So, I mean, everybody in the local music scene knows Watershed. And I know that, they've probably heard an interview with you at some point, so I want to get to that in a minute, but I've been really enjoying your solo records.
Oh, well, thanks a lot. Watershed, we started when we were real young up in Worthington, like in middle school, and then all we did was tour and have this incredible thing of up and downs and playing in our van. And about 5 years ago, my partner in the band, Joe Astrike, took a break to write a book, which turned into Hitless Wonder, which is basically the story of Watershed, and it's a great book. And during that time, I had to find something to do. So it was time for me to really start doing some solo stuff. So, when you're a musician, as we all know, and you love it, you're never going to stop. So it gave me some time to kind of try some different stuff that maybe wouldn't be a Watershed sound. So,
Yeah, that's what I noticed. It's noticeably different, but still, I mean, your voice is your voice. You want to go ahead and play us something from your solo record?
Yeah, this is a song. The first thing I put out is a single, and it's definitely the topic, something probably Watershed wouldn't have gone on to, and it's called Chemotherapy.
You've been saving, boy, that's great. It feels good to put some money away. You got everything signed on the dotted line. You'll retire in the desert one day. But don't forget the system's rigged. It's rigged against you and me. If you live long enough, every penny you save, you're gonna spend on chemotherapy. Now it don't matter if you're rich or poor, Republican or Democrat. The insurance man can't cover everybody. There's no money, it's really simple math. So you're better off traveling now or going on a spending spree. If you wait too long, all your money be gone. You blow it all on chemotherapy.
It's a little taste of that one, which, Watershed, we're a little more cheap tricky, so there wasn't a lot of stomach at the labels to tackle a topic. Chemotherapy is not exactly the most uplifting title, but it still was worth recording, so my solo stuff allowed me to do some different kind of material like that.
Yeah. So speaking of stuff like that, one of the things that first caught my ear about your solo record was, and I can relate to this because with home recording going on, everybody can make a record, and, I dabble in it too. But your record sound, the fidelity is just as good as can be. What are you doing that sets your music apart?
Well, the number one thing is a guy named Mike Landolt moved to town, and he's a world-class engineer. And there's some great guys around town like Joe Veers, and, there's a lot of good guys. But Mike moved to town from Los Angeles. His wife worked for Abercrombie, and we got in touch, and he moved a studio out here. So he's the one making it sound great and recording it. And he, has got a big resume, and he knows what he's doing.
Mike has a Grammy, right?
Yeah, Mike has a Grammy. He did, Rune 5 and stuff. I mean, I think it's great that people are doing stuff themselves, but there's still really no substitute for having a producer, someone you'll listen to. I always tell young bands they want to be self-produced. I go, well, go pull all the records that you love and tell me how many of those bands are self-produced. Not many. I mean, it's like a team without a coach, So I let people like that, Mike, handle the production. I try to play. And then the other thing I tried to approach is I didn't put out full-length records. I just felt like the reality of life with the coffee shop and being a parent and all these things, it's crazy to try to tackle 12 songs at once, where I was. So what I would do is Superior, I'd work on one or two or three songs and just put that out. And I think that allows just for, more time spent on the song. Because it's just too hard to get a whole record together. And I always said, I'll give you three songs to the floor of your car, but I can't give you 12. So those are the two things, Mike, and just focusing on smaller bits of material.
Well, I think that makes sense. A lot of times your car ride can be four songs pretty easily.
Yeah.
So did you know Mike before, or how did you guys hook
up?
No,
he walked in the coffee shop. He said, hey, I live around the corner. I heard, you're in Watershed, right? I'm like, yeah. And, Mike's had his own interesting he used to run sound. He ran sound for the Goo Goo Dolls the entire Replacements tour. But yeah, he just looked me up and it moved to town. It was kind of like, hey, you moved here, you got some gear, and you know, I'm going to start doing some solo stuff. Do you want to start recording? So that just, it was a real organic just kind of thing. And he's a great engineer, great producer. So I got really lucky.
The coffee house that Colin's talking about is Colin's Coffee.
Yeah, pretty ingenious name there.
Yeah, it's on Riverside?
Yeah, Riverside and Fishinger over in Upper Arlington.
And yeah, I went there for the first time this week, and good coffee.
Well, you know, it's a crazy story. I'd been a musician my whole life, and I'd worked there part-time for literally – I've worked there for 16 years. And like 6 years ago when we were talking about the break where Joe was going to write the book, we finished touring, and for the first time in my life – I wasn't going on the road, and the shop was going to close. So I just went to the owner and was basically like, hey, I don't have much money, but if you want to get out of here, I'll take this thing over and try to get through to the end of the week. So I've been trying to get through to the end of the week for 7 years now. So, you know, that's what I do. You know, so I'm in there most mornings. That's it. I don't get out to many shows with responsibilities and everything else. So I get up early, and I serve coffee, and then I, you know, try to write and record music whenever I can.
So you were in Watershed for – you know, your whole life.
Yep.
And, you know, you play with that group of guys for so long and you get a certain sound and you just kind of, it becomes a machine, you know,
you
just kind of do your thing. So to branch off in your, into your own direction, to suddenly be out there playing with new people, with new producers, where do you find yourself these days?
Well, you know, we do both now. At the time, doing solo was really hard because you have to find all these players and you're like, oh man, can I get one over here to play drums? And then Watershed, we did the record last year in the tour and we're, all of a sudden we're back in the same room and I'm like, God, I miss being solo. I could do whatever. Now I have to listen to everyone's opinions again. You know, it's because Watershed's really a band dynamic. I mean, it's a lot of give and take.
Democracy is overrated.
Exactly. You better fight for your opinion, you know, because you got a bunch of smart guys around you. So I enjoy both. But being part of a band is a lot more. It's more fun, you know, with Watershed. You know, we'll go out and we tour this summer and we're confident enough now that we basically, if we're going to do a rehearsal, we'll book a gig in Toledo. That's our practice. You know, it's nice to still be playing and playing all the stuff, and the songs are still fun to play.
This is All Sides Weekend. I'm Eric French, and I'm in studio with Colin Gowell. And our color commentator that you might have heard a little bit from is Quinn Fallon. I haven't really given you a big intro yet, but we're in studio with a couple musicians, and this is a new segment that we're doing here on All Sides Weekend. So Colin, in addition to performing and running a coffee house, you're also blogging a lot and you're running a website.
Yeah, you know, I've always written a lot on the side and not like, you know, I wouldn't consider myself a serious writer, but I always had the ColinGowell.com site and I'd write, you know, whatever I like to write about. I just enjoy writing. And wintertime, it just occurred to me, I'm already doing this one site, ColinGowell.com. You know, there's all these great people writing these things on Facebook, giving things away. Why don't I start a site called Pencil Storm? And I'm like, I'm at the shop. It's not that busy in the mornings. Send me your good music takes and I'll post them. And they'll be organized in a way where it doesn't just, you know, go on a Facebook feed and disappear. So basically, it's been kind of my labor of love. And the site is Pencil Storm, like a storm with pencils. And, you know, it really is the music page. We were talking about how you kind of stay in touch with music when you're a little bit older and can't stay out. I'll find myself, you know, in the driveway checking things out on YouTube. If I see something that I like, I'll write about it. We'll post it for Pencil Storm. And we've got a bunch of other music writers. So it's just the kind of site I would hope if someone stumbled onto it in the middle of the night, they'd be like, this is really cool. So that's been one of the ways I've kind of been staying connected with the scene is by writing and posting it on Pencil Storm. And I've got a bunch of other guys writing interesting things too. So it's kind of like a DVR for Facebook's, like what I say, kind of skim the top, you know, and throw it up there.
Yeah, with everything being so readily available and with there being just a wash of information and music out there, I mean, that can be almost as daunting as not having enough.
Yeah, or like, you know, we all know people where like you'll see their Facebook feed or whatever, and it's always kind of brilliant. So I said, dude, why don't you just slow down, take the best of that, write it in an article and send it to me, and now we'll post it on a page where if you want to go see it, it'll live forever. You know, you can go on the music page instead of it disappearing because there's so many good – I'm sure listeners can appreciate it. There's so many good out-of-work writers right now. They're just everywhere. And it's just a way for them to have a forum. And with the coffee shop, I have the time to make sure that gets done. I can at least semi-organize it. And it becomes kind of a clearinghouse for, you know, I think, underutilized talent. And, there's movies, sports, public issues, but music's kind of one of our main things.
Yeah, I think if you had a vintage motorsports section, it would be a site directly aimed at me personally.
Oh yeah. Yeah, see that we don't have any correspondence there. If you're interested, we could definitely, but I just let people that whatever they're excited about, they can write about. And it's amazing the good material you get. There's some great music stories up there. So just anyone wants to check it out, check out Pencil Storm.
Yeah, I've been using it this week since we first talked. And yeah, I mean, there's some great articles. There's a lot of different writers out there.
Yeah.
I've also noticed something about a rock and roll movie series.
Yeah, that's something else I forgot about. A couple years ago, my buddy Brian Phillips and I, we partnered up and we started doing a rock documentary series at the Gateway. The Gateway is very cool with Chris Hamill and all those guys over there and Johnny DiLoretto. Hey, can we get a movie? Can we get a screen once a month to show a rock documentary? Because basically we wanted an excuse to get out and have a beer and see a rock movie. And they were like, that sounds great. So we're coming up on our 2-year anniversary. We've done 23 documentaries now. And there's so many of them. And it's great. And I know, I think next month's our 2-year anniversary. We're planning on doing Gimme Shelter, which is the original Rolling Stones documentary we did for our first show. And that's an amazing movie. And to see it on the big screen is really cool. So it's called Reelin' and Rockin' at the Gateway Film Center. It's the third Wednesday of every month. And we just show a rock movie. And we try to, you know, get to as many as we can. It's a ton of fun. We meet for an hour before, like a happy hour, have a few beers. It's a bunch of music nerds. And then we watch the movie. So it's kind of a fun way to it's kind of like the Little Rock of movie series, basically, Quinn. You know, it's a place where there's no bands, no noise, but music fans can get together and talk about music.
Yeah, I'll definitely be at the next one.
Yeah.
You want to play something else?
Yeah, you know, I did chemotherapy, which is kind of a downer, so I'll play something a little more from the Watershed album, upbeat. Here go.
Take some pills, shoot to thrill, don't let bankers bend your will. Take coffee like my women, both full of alcohol. I don't think it's fair to say addicted to pornography. What else did they just give away that feels so good? I'm only having fun, I ain't hurting no one except for myself. Lectures you can spare me, tell some other body, because I am who I am and this is what I like to do. I am who I am and this is what I like, is what I like to do, yeah, what I like to do, what I like to do, yeah, what I like to do.
A little snippet of rock and roll there for everybody.
So. Yeah, that's Colin Gow. He's playing some Watershed music. Colin, we got to take a break, but can you hang out with us?
I'd love to.
This is All Sides Weekend with Eric French. This is a new segment about local music, and we'll be right back.
I know my first mistake was thinking I could change. If you wanna win, you gotta run the race. See my neighbors in the front yard talking about the kids and cars. We got nothing in common but the street we live on. They say you can't go home. I say you never really leave.
Pulling my passage to
welcome back to All Sides Weekend. I'm Eric French, and this is the first show of a new offering from All Sides Weekend, where we're going to do about once a month. We're going to focus on all things local music here in Central Ohio. And the track you just heard, if you've been a listener of CD 101 in the past, you probably recognize that. That's the X-Rated Cowboys, and their singer, Quinn Fallon, is in the studio with me. Quinn has bartended at any number of places around town, from 700 High, Little Brothers, the Newport. And he formerly owned Andy Mann's Treehouse with his longtime friend Andy Davis. And Quinn now owns and operates Little Rock. It's an Italian village, and he also fronts the Los Gravediggers mm-hmm. with some of the former X-Rated Cowboys. Quinn, thanks for being here.
Eric, thanks for having me. How you doing?
I'm great. This is great for me. I've got two great musicians in studio. We're going to play some songs here. So you want to just go ahead and play us something? What do you got?
This is ill-advised. It's 2 days old. Paint's still drying on it. But,
So press record on your cassette deck right now.
There you go.
You can't get this
one online
yet.
Hasn't been copyrighted, exactly.
Don't break up the band. Don't break up the band. I can still picture you slowly swaying with a beer in one.
the other trying to steady yourself. Do the microphone stand? Everybody knows this ain't a one-man show. Break up the band. I'll take a late shift while you sleep in the back of the van. 'Cause the driver always picks the music. Somebody's gotta stay awake. Somebody's gotta stay awake. Somebody's gotta stay awake. Don't break up the band.
That's a brand new song from Quinn Fallon here on All Sides Weekend. So, Quinn, I've been a fan of the X-Rated Cowboys for a long time, and sort of like with Colin, I recently discovered your new project, Los Gravediggers, which that's an amazing band name, by the way.
Thanks.
It's one of those band names that I wish I would have thought up and could have used.
Me too.
One of the things that I noticed about just a difference in sound is it's still got that country rock twinge to it, but I'm noticing a lot more honky-tonk in the Los Gravediggers stuff.
Well, I was really consciously going for it, and there was a period of a couple of years there where every time I picked up the guitar, I was like, this can't be esoteric, there can't be any inside jokes. I learned so much from these guys. I was just like, you know, if you're going, when the chorus rolls around, it should be like a hammer on your head, where when you're listening to that song for the first time, by the third chorus you're singing along. You know, I wasn't trying to make great art. I was trying to have great fun with music. And before, I was always like trying to figure if I was trying to get something across or you know, some kind of statement. And this time I totally changed the rules, and no one ever heard it.
Yeah.
It was all for nothing. I mean, you know, Nashville is almost kind of shut down, and if you don't have these crazy connections, no one's ever going to hear your stuff. But I mean, when I was writing a lot of that, I was like, what would, you know, what would Tim McGraw, what kind of thing would he do for this? And, you know, we had Al Perkins from the Flying Burritos play on it, and Dan Baird produced a bunch of tracks. And, I mean, it was my real I'm going for it kind of thing. And and since then, that record's probably, you know, three or so years old. And I've been writing for the next one. And the band now, Los Gravediggers, which came after the record, because I just did not want to put out a solo record, we've been cutting stuff, and it's kind of right where I wanted it at this point, because, you know, I was very proud of stuff I did with the Cowboys, and then I wanted to do an obviously more commercial thing with the Gravediggers. And now it's kind of settled into this gritty thing that has a lot more substance, but it still has these choruses you can kind of rally around. So I'm real happy with the direction that it's taken.
Yeah, so what's do you have a new album in the works?
Yes, it's $2,000 away from being done.
So. Well, have you considered Kickstarter or yep. something like that?
No, I don't. I just
on,
don't
man.
Have the
Sammy
stomach
Hager's
for that.
Kids doing it. Just do it. Get in there.
So what is it that you're listening to these days that brought all that out?
Oh man, yeah, I'm the last guy in the world that really goes and digs out new music. I'm looking for that George Jones record I missed the first time around, or Willie Nelson. I mean, I'm going backwards. I never go forwards.
Let's talk about the jukebox at the new bar. You're in
Let's
there all the time.
The jukebox.
It's the best jukebox I've seen. What do you listen to on the jukebox? What's getting played?
I put three George Jones CDs on there. I mean, he's kind of my new Johnny Cash, and I hate to say that, but you know, I adore Johnny Cash, and he's definitely been a huge influence. But I listen to him so nonstop for maybe 8 years that I'm kind of like, I need to get away from a minute. It's like I did the same thing with the Replacements.
Yep.
Where I listen to him so much that it's kind of, you know, I kind of got to step back and go into it fresh. But a lot of George Jones. That's been my new kick as of late. But, you know, there's a bunch of – that's a crazy jukebox.
I know. What's
that's the best
played?
One I've ever seen, because I didn't have to appease anybody. Honest to God. I just kind of went for it.
What's getting played that surprises you? Which gets more played than you think?
Well, it's cool being in a bar in Italian Village and hearing a whole bunch of Merle Haggard.
Wow.
I mean, that's kind of surprising. You know, you just wouldn't expect that.
Quinn's talking about Little Rock. It's on 4th, and it's in Italian Village. I actually went there for the first time last night, and I was absolutely blown away. I mean, it's one of those places where you walk in, and everything is just right. The lighting is just right. There are no flat-screen TVs, and the music was excellent. There were, I believe, three people spinning records, like actual vinyl records.
Yep.
And, you know, it was in the system, and you could hear just enough of that crackle to kind of feel at home. And you just kind of walk in, and you just kind of feel like this is a music bar.
I definitely, you know, it's I think it was a music bar too, which is funny because we really don't have live music very often, other than intermittently. It's basically just Friday happy hours. We bring different artists in.
Who's playing tonight?
Colin Gall is playing tonight. And
truly a coincidence.
There's never any cover, and so Colin's doing two sets at 7, and we have a great happy hour there. Just a little shameless plug, but I owned the Treehouse for 10 years and. You know, that was a very music-centric bar. Andy loved music, program director, head DJ at CD101. You know, I was in the Cowboys. I mean, music was definitely swimming around that place. But, you know, I kind of hated always beating people up over the head for $5 every time they walked in the door. And some of my favorite nights were when there wasn't a band and just a bunch of people would roll in and hang out. And, you know, we're all arguing about the Replacements and Kiss after a few beers, you know. Every time, well, by the way.
I know.
Every time.
Well, that's what, I mean, I remember you saying you wanted to do a Treehouse for Adults, and you've done that where kind of like the theme that Eric was talking about, like, where do you find these conversations about music if you can't stay out till 2 a.m. and see a band? And I was struck by the same thing. I go into Little Rock. There's no TVs, and you realize you don't miss it. Like, every bar now has a million TVs in your face. It's just got this great, cool vibe. It's really centered on conversation, great jukebox. And like you said, it's never any cover. There's not a. You have some acoustic stuff, but it's really just a fun place to hang out and talk to people. It's really cool.
And it's still, for whatever reason, maybe I'm biased, but it still feels very music centric. And you know, we're kind of legendary bar top at the Treehouse, and you know, so I wanted to come up with something that was very signature as well. And then, but you know, the guitar, the bar tops are guitar necks with, you know, like fretboards with, you know.
Yeah.
Fret markers and
you,
cool
I'm
stuff.
Sure you walked around too. It's like a little rock and roll museum in there. There's all kind of cool little things on the wall. If you're a nerd, there's all kind of flyers and just really cool stuff.
Yeah. The little hallway leading around the bar
is
pretty awesome with guitars in there. Yeah. One of the things that, that I think that we're going to focus on with this show is, you know, for instance, I worked in nightclubs for years and years running sound, and I don't know why, but I just got this idea in my head that if you're going to be involved in local music, you're out on Thursday and Friday at, you know, 2 a.m., you know, hearing extremely loud music. And although I still do that occasionally and I still love it, you know, the way my life and I think a lot of our listeners' lives are laid out, we're looking for, you know, ways to be involved that don't necessarily involve that. And the light bulb just went off in my head a while back that, you know, there's so many ways to be involved in local music. And I just immediately got that vibe last night at your place, Quinn. You know, you had great DJs, but I could just tell that, you know, you sit down at the bar and you're going to find somebody who's pretty excited to talk about music there. I'm also excited about live music, so why don't we have you do another song?
Very cool. This will be on the next Gravediggers record.
Don't count the years, count the miles. You know the mistakes I could never reconcile. If I laid the man on end, I could climb them to the stars. They said coming down's the hardest part. Abilene, Abilene. Ever see you in my dreams? You're out there in the distance, just beyond the high beams. There your faith in me will be redeemed if I ever make it back to Abilene.
That's Quinn Fallon here on 89.7 NPR News. This is a new show that we're doing with All Sides Weekend with me, Eric French. And I'm joined in studio today with Colin Gall and Quinn Fallon.
Quinn, you're going to introduce us as Colin Quinn.
Oh, yeah. This is, with Colin and Quinn, this is, I've been watching a lot of SNL lately. Yeah. So this is the All Side Weekend update with Colin and Quinn.
Yep. It's our new act we're working on.
So. Yeah. We're going to keep this group together for future shows. Yep. So let's compare and contrast some of the Treehouse and Little Rock. So at Little Rock, you're doing happy hour shows on Fridays.
Yes.
And so it looks like a pretty concrete tin roof kind of joint. I mean, doesn't that sound just get out of control?
Oh, it's crazy loud in there. I mean, I have the trim turned up to like 8 a.m. on a lot of those knobs there. That doesn't mean a lot to a lot of people, but I mean, it's super hot room. Cement floors, tin ceilings. Yeah, we got to be real careful with that. But
So how does that affect what acts you bring in?
I don't want to bring bands in there, and it's also like a kind of a financial thing because, you know, we don't charge cover, so we're paying the musicians to come in out of pocket. So it's a lot easier to throw a guy, you know, whatever, 50, 75 bucks in a beer in a bar tab than to bring a band in and offer them the same deal. So although I've played for far less, I'm sure you guys have.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, you made $50 or $75?
Yeah, oh, my God. I used to call it blues brothering it when you'd be like, they'd hand you $50 and they'd be like, here's your pay and your bar tab 75. And I'm like, oh, man.
Don't let the band open a beer tab. Don't ever let everyone's on their own because that thing gets out of hand quick.
Yep.
If I remember right, didn't the Treehouse begin without live music?
Very briefly. I mean, we were open 2 or 3 months, and you know, I've been lifelong music junkie. I really learned a lot from that place so far as playing out, just because, you know, I started putting bands in there, and we were just doing them as one-offs initially, and I honest to God booked myself as the opener for 100 of these bands. So I was playing out every weekend out of the blue, and it wasn't really because I had a giant ego about it. It's like, I'm free and I will show up on time.
Yeah.
You know, it was just very easy to keep putting myself in there, and the bands were all cool with it. So that was a great little learning experience initially. But yeah, that people really responded to that. So we just kind of, you know, I didn't want to dictate what kind of venue it was going to be. I was kind of just felt the vibe and what people were receptive to. And yeah, definitely turned into a, you know, 5, 6, 7 nights a week music venue. And
so
still going on, which is great. I was actually working there briefly for Ryan and Ronnie this past year, and they've done a great job.
Yeah,
it's
with still it. Kicking.
Yep.
It's great. Check it out.
Glad to see it's still around.
So to go from music almost every night of the week to music, live music once a week, how do you go about deciding what's too much, what's too little? I mean, did you get burned out with that many live bands every night?
That was about a decade that we had the Treehouse, you know, I felt like we, you know, I set out to do one thing. We did it really good. I didn't want to go do it again. I wanted to do something different. You know, I remember sitting in O'Reilly's many times with Andy Mann and just being like, look around this place. I'm like, there's no band and it's packed. I mean, that's kind of nice, isn't it? You know, because, I mean, there were nights that I just absolutely felt like we were putting magic in a bottle where you just sit there and see that. I mean, you know, the alarm showed up at the bar one night and we stayed up until 4 a.m. and we quit serving. But, you know, I had this crappy Takamine guitar and Mike Peters is borrowing my guitar and blowing through all these songs in the spirit of 76. And I'm just sitting there in my jaw dropped. And I mean, we had all these crazy nights like that, but you know, by the same token, there's always a bunch of, you know, like, are these guys really a band? Like, what are they doing? How did they get on this bill? You know,
you
take the good with the bad. I mean, it's music's like everything else, you know, it runs the gamut. Excuse me.
Well, do you have another song for us?
If you ask one more question, I can come up with another song.
Okay. I know. I was going to ask you the difference between the two buildings. One is the new – I was down there, I'll 10 bar every once in a while just to help out with Quinn. But I noticed when there's a big rainstorm, it doesn't flood like the treehouse.
It was funny. The very first night we got the doors open, we opened at 7, and by 7:15 it was torrentially raining. And I was initially so mad because I'd been – honest to God, I've been trying to – open a bar for 3 years, and then all of a sudden I finally get the doors open and it's like the worst weather possible, and then I'm looking around and just started laughing. I'm like, well, I'm not running around sandbagging the joint, you know.
Yeah, you just have to sandbag the treehouse, you know. That was literally
brutal.
Yeah, I've seen enough soggy guitars and drums in that back room.
Oh,
at
yeah. And I'll never, you know, I can still smell it. You know, if I think about it, I can still smell that ammonia mold kind of combo, you know.
I think one time my jacket was actually flooded on, and it was such a cold night that I was just like, you know what, I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah, I'm like programming. Used to pour rain, I'd actually just think of Quinn, like, poor Quinn. Like, just to be a storm, I'd be somewhere. Like, he's right now, he's racing over there trying to save the bar.
Yep.
Well, Colin Gowell and Quinn Fallon have been my guests today, and guys, I'm really excited. I'm really happy you were here. Thanks so much for coming on.
I'm happy to do it. It's a great, you know, good segment and fun to talk with you guys. So,
and Quinn, I'm going to have you play one more, and then we'll be right back.
with most of my friends. Burn through every dime I've ever earned. There's a lesson in there somewhere. It's one I've never bothered to learn. I'm sure I've got a couple regrets. Just give me a minute or two. If I can't come up with something, just wait until the night is through. You know I never had to look too far or scare up a little trouble. If I came to a fork in the road, I just assume I would see him double. I'll be here after all the smoke, 'cause there'd be no misunderstanding. If you stumble around long enough, you might be the last man standing. Maybe I can't even tell that I'm falling or I'm flying. And I've been given a bit of laughter, if only just to keep from crying. Maybe I'm down for the count, but don't be too quick to count me.
Quinn Fallon, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Eric. I appreciate it.
Colin Gow, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We'll be right back to talk about September's Independence Day Festival. Welcome back to All Sides Weekend for a new show here focusing on local music with me, Eric French. About once a month, we're going to bring a show like this together and have discussions about the local music scene and anything music's in Central Ohio. I'm going to be talking to a lot of musicians and promoters, venue owners, bands from out of town, anything really going on in Columbus, we're going to try to bring up and do a feature. And every time we're going to try to have at least one in-studio performance. We happen to have two this week, which was great. And with us right now is the captain of the Independence Day board.
Festival,
Alexis Perrone. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So my memories of Independence Day is I remember it kind of being small and a little one-day endeavor kind of in an alley.
Yes.
So where is it at now?
We have taken those humble beginnings and soared. Now we are a three-day festival. We still do everything in Pearl Alley and on Gay Street, but we're just packing in more days and bringing more people to downtown. Friday night is going to be kind of like a happy hour performance with Nina West and the Wet Darlings and Tin Armor. There'll be a few vendors, some food, some alcohol, just some fun to get everyone kind of riled up for Saturday, which is the big day that Saturday has always been for the festival, with vendors and music and dance performances and crafters. And this year we're adding more comedy from local comedians and a local film series and focal film series. The Columbus Film Series is going to be kicking off their week of films at the festival as well. And then Sunday, everyone can come back to the alley, kind of nurse away the day before's revelry with a bobsleds in the alley. People are encouraged to make their own drag race bobsleds. There are a bunch of design groups competing and motorcycle groups all building like push carts, cool running style. We're going to race those through the alley and have some brunch and Bloody Marys. So I'm sure it'll be super safe.
Yeah. So this is, where is this at again?
Gay Street and Pearl Alley, September 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
So one of the things that I remembered also when it was in the alley was concrete gets tricky, you know, acoustically, and especially that alley was pretty tough. What measures do you take to kind of handle the sound?
Really, we just I have great sound engineers, great local sound engineers. We work with some great companies that bring in the sound and just manage it as much as possible and do some really smart spacing on where the stages are and some smart planning about who we're putting on at what time in different places. And but, you know, we are Independence Day and we like loud local music. So, yeah, sometimes we're going to put a metal band in the middle of the alley and just really rip it out.
For anyone not familiar with Independence Day and they're thinking to themselves, why isn't it on July 4th? It's just because of the way the word sounds. This is Independence Day featuring Correct. The word independent.
Correct.
So are all the artists and all the musicians, is it all local independent artists?
Everyone involved with the festival, from the dancers to the musicians, the comedians, the local film, all the musicians, artists that are displaying at the festival are all independent, local people making their craft here right in the capital city. So what we're doing with the festival is bringing everyone to the alley to show off and highlight everything that's awesome about the city. Like people, it's my favorite part about Independence Day is that people still don't understand that downtown's revitalized and we have like all these wonderful things in the city. And every year there'll be someone walking around downtown, looking around going, ah, I had no idea it was like this down here. Yeah. And that's such a great moment for me because then we really hit it. We brought Columbus and what's great about the city and its arts and culture scene to these people. And that's the mission of the festival.
So I've heard the city take some flack, in an attempt to promote the downtown life. I've heard some restaurant owners and other people kind of give the city, you know, a hard time for not being as helpful as they could be. What kind of dealings have you had with the city?
The city really loves the festival. We've had really great dealings and some great response from some of the local businesses around that area, too. Like some of our really great friends on the street love that we come in. Some of them have told us that it's their biggest day of the year behind St. Patrick's Day or days like that. So we really use the festival to help infuse downtown with people that don't normally go there. I mean, the city is one of the first organizations that reached out to us in the early stages of the festival and said, bring this to downtown and bring the people to downtown. And now here we are 6 years later. And the festival's expanding, downtown's expanding, everything's growing at an incredibly rapid rate. And it's really amazing to see the transition over the years.
So this is your sixth year. Usually when you think music festivals in Columbus, you think of another one. You know, you think of, you know, ConFest, obviously, first and foremost.
Yeah.
But seriously, 3 days, all those stages, all those bands, this seems to be growing bigger than I would have ever imagined.
I think it took everyone by surprise how fast this grew. I mean, we were just kind of a group of people who like doing things in the city, who all kind of come from different areas and got together and said, let's do this. Let's throw this festival. And then every year it's just really hit people's heartstrings and more people come to us and say, I want to be part of the festival. How do I help out? So that's why the ethos of our festival is great. You know a lot about comedy. You know a lot about film. Take it, run with it, create your own section. And that's how some of these sections have popped up and become a part of the festival, because it's just people saying, I want to own this, I want to do this, and doing it. And we give them the opportunity in the venue and a little bit of help to do that.
So if somebody's listening right now and wants to get involved, what do they need to do?
Go to, either you can contact us on our Facebook page, which is like facebook.com/thisisindependent, or www.thisisindependent.com is our website, and there's a contact feature there. And all emails go to the captain's email, which is currently mine for the next 22 days. And I can respond to you and tell you how to get involved. We have lots of volunteer opportunities for the festival, too. And that's the other thing. This festival doesn't happen without our volunteers, the people who run certain sections, the people who are running the festival, and the people that are just pouring the beer, picking up the trash, making it happen. This is really an all hands on deck, we need your help kind of festival to make it happen.
So as the captain, what is your main responsibility?
Making sure all the pieces keep working and the whole thing just keeps whirling around and doesn't fall down and come crashing down. And kind of just being like this mad conductor of this symphony of crazy, basically, because it's some of the greatest artists of our city and they're all a little nuts. I mean, making sure that they all show up on time and, you know, make sure you find a stage or bring your microphones or, oh, you want to do comedy? That's great. You need to give me a schedule, guys. Like, just wrangling everyone is kind of my job.
Yeah, I guess punctuality and following schedules doesn't usually follow from artistic genius, does it?
No, it doesn't. And it's not obvious. It's not always my strong suit either. But for some reason, like, they've put me in charge of getting all that done.
So have you been with them from the beginning?
No, I started working with the festival about 4 years ago. I was a sponsor, and then I headed up the after party. And then last year, they put me in charge of all the volunteers. And then this year, they gave me the big reins.
Cool. So let's get back to some music.
Yeah.
Who are you excited to see?
I am really excited about the New Bomb Turks. It's going to be a free outdoor performance of the New Bomb Turks, which is kind of an amazing thing that hasn't happened in a very, very long time. And I'm really excited that they're coming back to play. I love The Regrets, This Is My Suitcase, Animal Cubes, Connections. Oh my gosh, if you haven't listened to Connections, they're amazing. And on Friday, we've got performances by Nina West and Tim Armour and The Wet Darlings. And I know I'm just rattling names off, but I am just such a local music supporter and fanatic that there's so many parts of this festival that I'm excited about. And it's sad, being the captain, I probably won't get to see any of these performances because I'll be running around the whole day. Yeah, but I'm really glad that everyone else is going to get to enjoy them.
Well, I guess I should back announce. Now, we began this segment with a cut from The Regrets, been around too long, and we happen to have some New Bomb Turks on hand. That's a cut from the New Bomb Turks, who are going to be playing on Saturday, was it?
Saturday night at
8:45. All right. Yeah, I took a look at the list, and it's pretty much all of the bands that I really enjoy seeing around Columbus. Who picks what bands play?
We have a really amazing music committee of people who really know local music. And it's kind of an open call at the beginning of when we start planning the festival of, like, if you have an interest in local music, if you have a few connections, that'd be great too. And just get everyone in one room and start throwing out ideas of who you would like to see and who would play. And from all that great talent of those really amazing folks that have been doing that, this list comes out of there.
I've seen a lot of pretty up-tempo stuff. I mean, are you guys covering a lot of genres too?
Yeah, we're covering a lot from alternative and indie to a little bit heading into some country and some really, really hard punk rock. So a little bit of metal here and there. So we really try to be as diverse as possible.
Let's play another clip. I really wanted to play Lydia Loveless, speaking of some country-ish stuff.
Yes.
So this one is a clip from Bad Way to Go. So Alexis, you've been with the festival for a long time, and obviously you're seeing it grow. What's changed over the years? What's worked? What hasn't?
I think it's really just the size and the scope of the festival has changed so much over the past couple of years. And I think one of the great things that we've continued to keep doing is making sure that the festival not only highlights local talent but gives back to local charities. So we always have several beneficiaries, and as the festival has grown, we've been able to bring on more beneficiaries. Like this year, we're benefiting Momentum, the Dick and Jane Project, and Project Zero Ohio. really, we've just kind of thrown ideas against the wall to see what sticks over the past couple of years. And if it didn't work, hey, at least we tried it, is kind of the theory. And there's always these really grand ideas that, like, let's drop 1,000 paper cranes from the top of a building. These things that kind of come out of this retreat that the board goes on every year, where we just kind of lock ourselves up in Hocking Hills for a while and just think of the craziest things that we could possibly do in an alleyway. And then take as much of that as possible and then actually execute it for the city.
Have you ever been able to see numbers, like how many people can actually show up in a day?
We've estimated that it's grown by about 1,000 each year. So we're somewhere around like 6,000 to 7,000. And with adding the 2 days, I'm hoping for it to grow. But we haven't really had super accurate counts.
Yeah. Well, and I think that you've picked a great time to have it too. I mean, usually when you think festivals, you think summer, mm-hmm. and it's usually so oppressively hot that it's, you know, kind of a drag. But I think having it in late September, I mean, that's got to help.
Yeah, I think the summer festival season in Columbus is so set and traditional and awesome. And you know, every weekend in June, what you're going to be doing. Oh, I'm going to go to the Arts Fest, then I'm going to go to Pride, and then I'm going to go to ConFest. Like, there's not a lot of room in the summer schedule to get that figured out. So September seemed like a really great time where we have nice weather, but it's not getting cold yet. People still want to do one or two things, but we're not stepping on any of the toes of everyone's traditional summer plans for Columbus.
So give me those dates one more time.
It is September 20th, 21st, and 22nd.
So in addition to music, I think I'm maybe the most excited to see the human derby, or I forget how you described it earlier.
Bobsled races in the alley.
Yeah. Tell me a little bit more about that.
So on Sunday, and Sunday's times are 11 to 5, we're going to set up a brunch in the alley. The Hills Market's going to be providing that, which is really awesome of them. We're going to have beer trucks and Bloody Marys, and then design teams, motorcycle groups, individuals, whoever wants to get involved, can build essentially like a push cart. And one person steers, one person runs and pushes, and there'll be like NCAA bracket type style eliminations throughout the day. We have some cool singer-songwriters coming in and just playing a little bit lightly through the day, but mostly it'll be bobsled races and drinking Bloody Marys in the alley.
Well, I'm looking forward to the music, but I might be looking forward to that the most. So what do you have planned for the future? What's up next year?
Let me get to the next 22 days first,
yeah,
guy.
Is that too much? Okay.
No, I think it's just a continual growth of the festival. Like this year, we're edging into 3 days. We're not doing 3 full days of the same thing. Each day is a little bit different. Like I said, Fridays, 5 to 11, happy hour show in the alley. Saturdays, 11 to 11, that's the big all-day blowout. And then Sundays, the bobsled races from 11 to 5 with some brunch and Bloody Mary. So whatever the city gives us, that's some new upcoming great thing that people are doing, it just kind of gets absorbed into this festival in different ways as soon as someone wants to take that on. So I think the sky's the limit for the growth of this festival. And what we do in the future depends on whoever wants to step up and start leading it with us.
Yeah. Okay, so September 20th through the 22nd, it's downtown. So maybe this is just me thinking about how much I hate to try to park in the Short North or at ConFest, but I'm excited. I'm going to be there. I am definitely going. Where do I park?
There are plenty of parking garages downtown. I think there's been a number of articles about the amount of surface lots that are downtown. There are several really great parking garages. State House is nearby. There's some behind on 3rd Street. You can go all the way down to the Commons lot. There are lots of parking garages, surface lots. Meters are free on Sunday, so you can park at any of the meters around and walk over. And you've got a lot of great transportation options, too. Like, Kogo just put in all those new bikes. You could just bike on down to the festival. You don't have to ride. And it's a short walk. It's a really short walk from the Short North. So anyone who lives there should just walk on over.
Who are some of the businesses that you have partnered up with you?
Some of our sponsors include Jenny's, Kemba Financial, the Wexner Center for the Arts, Brothers Drake Meadery, CD101, ColumbusLocalMusic.com. So all those businesses have been instrumental in making sure and providing funds for the festival. Oh, and GCAC gives us an amazing grant every year that we apply for and get a grant from them so that we're able to pay our music artists, which is a really big passion of all of us, making sure that people get paid for their time.
Oh, okay. So the artists get paid.
Yes. We get a small amount from GCAC, which is an amazing organization for our city to be able to do something like that. But that way, these people are giving part of their craft over to us. So in some way, we want to give something back to them.
Yeah, absolutely. Alexis Perrone is the captain of the Independence Day Festival, and she's been here with us. It's not for a few more weeks, but I don't know that we'll have another one of these shows between now and then. So I wanted to make sure that we had somebody on to talk about Independence Day. I want to thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and helping spread the word about the festival. I mean, going to 3 days this year is a really big thing, and we really want to get the word out to everyone that we're growing, we're expanding.
Thanks very much. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7 and WOSU HD1 Columbus, and streaming on the web at WOSU.org. I want to thank Ann Fisher and Amy Jurevich for all their help. This is a new segment or a new feature that we're going to do on All Sides Weekend with Eric French, where we're going to talk about local music. I'm really excited about doing this show in the future, so stay with us.